Perhaps you're new to the show. Perhaps you don't know that J.D. Bunkus has no children, making him an inferior person to myself, who has two children. But they were born not at the same time. I have two children. It was like two totally separate instances. One was born in 2015. The other one was born in 2018. Totally different. The whole procedure, totally different. We're going to be joined by Alex Petrangelo in a second. Not the same deal for him. He had freaking triplets 2 years ago in July. Do you have any... You have friends with kids, obviously. And you have a friend with twins. I have a friend with twins. The shock that my friend had, first of all, realizing he had twins and then going through the first couple of months with twins was insane. Now, Alex Petrangelo is probably in a situation that's a little bit easier on him personally in having the twins. But, like, I thought my friend, like, might legitimately die of a heart attack when he found out he had twins. I can't imagine just being a normal person and finding out you have triplets.
First of all, your level of excitement to find out that there was some kid-related content to discuss with Alex Petrangelo.
But not can I just pause you right there? It's not just that. It's that someone has a tougher kid-related situation than me.
Yeah. It just... It's too much. Just your voice. It's as though you told me I just won... I won $1,000. Hey, JD... You get $1,000. I'd be like, really? Oh, that's so awesome. Just $1,000 out of the blue? That's great. Thank you so much. I'm so excited about this. This is awesome. For you, it's just, hey, do you know that someone else has kids? You're like, oh, my God. I can't wait to talk to them about kids. Oh, my God. They're annoying, right? Like, they're loud. They move around. They make you tired. And they want things. And they don't really have great conversations. And, no, you guys really sell it great. Here's the thing. You morons on team having kids... You look at it like we're all just these irresponsible people who you can't imagine how we live. What do we do with our day-to-days? You know what we do? We sleep. We have fun. And when wasn't this, we see people. No we have friends. We went out. We did whatever we wanted. You know the money you make? You know how that they put that money in your account every 2 weeks? And they say, here you go. Here's your reward for the hard work that you put in. Here's what you get for your goods and services. For us, we take that money and do with it whatever we please. Whatever we want, we do. I've never spent a dollar on a jumping gym or whatever you call it for your boys. I never had to go and sink money into that. I've never had to sink a dollar into daycare. Not $1 of mine has gone to a daycare for a child. I haven't woken up in a sweat thinking, oh, but where are the children? Where are they? Don't have to worry about
neither it. Neither do I, because they're just jumping on my head at 6:30. It's never a concern. We're like, where are the children? Exactly. Oh, where they always are, jumping on my stupid face.
Do you know what me and the non-children people say behind your backs all the time? Thank God we don't have kids. The golden rule to happiness, never have kids. This is just basically what we say constantly is... Oh, my God. Could you imagine having kids right now in the pandemic and just having to deal with kids?
Yeah.
I treat people with children in the pandemic like they have the worst thing that they actually have something worse than the plague itself, that they have something worse than COVID, that I need to treat them gently. Oh, hey, Ben, you're doing a great job just sending you a little message of support because I know that you're really struggling right now. Yeah. You guys are morons.
So here's the thing. So let me do this as a math equation because I know you're a big math guy. So like you know the greater than equal to or the two dots related to. JD is to Ben as Ben is to Alex Petrangelo. I view Alex Petrangelo as if I'm you and he's me. He has triplets. He has three kids. They're all under the age of two. It's like I basically don't have kids compared to Alex Petrangelo. Can't you understand how that would be something that would make me feel special? And now he's on the line right now, so we have to start with this.
What do you mean, make you feel
special? That, you know, my situation's a little less strenuous than Alex Petrangelo, who has triplets.
Is it, though?
Well, we're about to find out. He's on the line right now, St. Louis Blues captain. Alex, thanks for doing this, man. How are the triplets?
You know what? They're three kids at the age of just under two that want to do what they want when they want, so I describe it as fun but adventurous at the same time.
Yeah, Ben and I both have really good friends who have twins, and it's one of my best friends who has twins, and I remember when he told me, and yeah, let's just say he was overwhelmed in the moment, that the doctor basically had to tell him three times that he was having twins before it actually sunk in for him, where he just was like, they're like, no, see the two heartbeats? He's like, oh my God, my baby has two hearts. What's going to happen? Is it going to live? It's like, no, it's two heartbeats. He's like, I'm not getting it at all. Just please break it down for me, please. This is twins. You're having twins. Like that both for you where it's triplets, man. Like, that's just, do you have a triplet support group? Do you have a network where you have to just talk with people that you all have to stay connected with? Are you the face of the triplet community? What's that like?
You know what? There's no real book on parenting I've realized now that I'm going through it. I guess especially with multiples, it's not really a thing to follow. You just got to kind of learn on the fly a bit, use a bit of a guideline. But you know what? It's getting a little bit easier because the boys are into dinosaurs and their new thing is playing with dinosaurs, and my daughter just wants to watch Trolls all day. So I think now when they get to this age, they're kind of starting to figure out their own path and their personality. But I mean, I know how your friend feels there when he found out about the heartbeats. Mine was a little more dramatic with a few more inappropriate words, but I mean, nonetheless, I was still happy.
Oh, I can't. How did you guys sleep? Because like one baby is up at just three babies. Like that's, they're awake. There's one of them and they're in working in shifts to keep you awake and make you go insane.
Yeah. We had some people watch them during the night, during the season. So mama got to sleep and so did I. But we had someone come in and help us sleep train them. I think they were 5 months and they go 12 hours. So it was worth the time to kind of invest in that, because when your babies go 12 hours, it's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, no, I'm done feeling bad for you. Because,
no,
yeah, that's,
hold on.
That's
I'm
it.
Sorry.
That's
I forgot how rich you are. That's my mistake.
All of that. Apologies. All of that. But specifically the sleep thing. Because, yeah, I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old who were, like, I moved beds 3 times yesterday because they kept waking up and then coming into my bed. And then the bed that I was moving into after that, they went into that bed. They sleep 12 hours. That's the only thing that matters in parenting and having kids. And if you could sleep, if you never lost 1 second of sleep having kids, the population of the earth would be 10 billion, not 7 billion, because everyone would have it. The sleep is the only thing that matters, Alex.
You know what? And I wish maybe they do understand me. I don't know. I always say to the kids, I say, I only ask you to do two things. It's to eat when I give you food and sleep when I ask you to sleep. Other than that, you can do whatever you want, and I'll accommodate
honestly.
You. Those are the only two things that, and you know what? I wish someone said that to me. I'm just going to feed you. I'm going to change your underwear, and all you got to do is sleep. That'd be nice.
Yeah, it's like, you commit crimes, I'll hire the best lawyer in the world. Doesn't matter. Yeah, just as long as you sleep when you're asked to. You eat when you're told. I 100% agree. All right, so yeah, my whole thing about feeling bad for you, it kind of blew up in my face. So we're all waiting on tenterhooks for, the return of hockey in the NHL. But when this Jordan Binnington, Justin Bieber thing is going down, are you feeling the same way? Are you like, you're trying to get inside info, you're wondering when this is going to happen?
Well, I thought it was going to happen at the All-Star game, so it didn't happen. I'm sure, the NHL is trying to find ways to market best they can. I know Binner wants to do it, so I don't think Binner is quite as busy as the other guys, so we got to make sure we get both parties on board there, but some good entertainment. I think just for fun, though, I'll take Bieber, and then if he scores, rub it into Binner. I mean, that's kind of how you have to go about it, you know? You got to cheer for the underdog.
Of course. Of course you have to cheer for the underdog. I have so much more faith. I have more faith in Jordan Binnington than his, like, winning a Stanley Cup because of his approach to this, of just how unafraid he is. Because I am a choker who would look at this as, okay, even if I had astronomically good odds of stopping every one, it's the risk versus reward, right? It's like, If you were to arm wrestle with a kid, it's like, okay, you're going to win. You're going to beat that kid in an arm wrestle. But if you beat the kid in an arm wrestle, people are like, way to go, man. You beat a kid in an arm wrestling match. But if you lose, if something happens where you lost to that kid, that's the rest of your life. You're just like, they put that on your tombstone. Like, here lies the guy who lost to a kid arm wrestling match. We buried his weak-ass arm under this pile of dirt. What a disgrace. The Leafs had this embarrassing loss where they lost to that David Ayers. You might have heard of it. It might have come across your newsfeed that they lost to a shooter tutor. But that I feel like if Binnington gets scored on by Bieber, that the Leafs are the biggest winners because the shooter tutor story goes out the window. The Bieber stick goes into the Hall of Fame. And who knows if Jordan Binnington ever recovers from this.
I can't say my. I don't know how skilled Justin Bieber is at hockey. I mean, I've seen his little Instagram stories or whatnot, but I haven't quite seen him in person. So maybe we're not giving enough credit. So I don't know. Maybe I might pull some tricks out and fool Binner there. Look, if I can score on Binner in practice, anybody can score. That's what I always say.
The working theory is that Binnington hasn't seen a shot that is as soft as Bieber's since he was probably 13 years old, and that the timing might throw him off. What do you think of that theory?
We got some coaches that throw absolute muffins at the net, so maybe he might be able to do that. He might be used to it. I don't know. Just come watch one of our practices.
Is one of those coaches Mark Savard?
Oh, I was savvy. Savvy's just doing toe drags in the corner when I'm trying to get a drill done.
Yeah, he's our former coworker, and yeah, we love him to death, and we've had him on, I think, a couple of times over this pandemic. But yeah, man, what's he like on a daily basis? We know he takes his job obviously super seriously, and yeah, great guy to run the power play. The percentage has been up this season.
But, I just want to say I don't agree with any of those things Ben just said. Does Savvy ever does he ever shut up about taping sticks? Like, does he come up to you and be like, "Hey, Alex, do you want to let me tape your stick today, bud? Like, want to see how Savvy does it? Want to be on taping twigs?" Like, does he ever leave you alone?
You know what? I think Savvy knows better than to come to me and ask me about my tape job because I really could care less about it. So I think he doesn't even bother approaching me. He's taped a few other guys' sticks, but, I mean, I could care less. You know what he does with my stick. My knob I'm a little bit picky about, but he can tape my stick however he wants. Hey, you know what? If he tapes my stick and I score goals like he did, I guess that's a good thing. I mean,
yeah,
maybe worth a try. I don't know. But I've never seen quite a passion for tape as Savvy has. So maybe he should start his own tape company. I don't know. But he's fun to have around. You know what I like about Savvy, too, and he's probably listening, I know, is, you know, guys who played the game know what it's like to be in the locker room and they know what it's like to be part of the group. So all of our coaches played the game. So it's fun to have them around because they get the camaraderie and the personalities in the locker room and they fit right in. I mean, you guys know Savvy. He fits right in with us or fits right in really with any group. So what he's doing is working. I can't argue with that. We've had one hell of a year in the power play.
Yeah, and he's mentioned that to me a few times. He's like, "Hey, bud, you notice the power play stats?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's all you. You're the one. You're the one who's out there. You're running the point. All right, Savvy." No, it's. But yeah, no, man, we're happy for him. We're thrilled for him. He was great here too. And I will gas him up a little in just saying this, is that he's just like the golf rumors about him is just that he's beaten anybody. And I got to wonder that down in St. Louis – there's some guys who just want to step up and try to beat him. Is he the best guy? Is he the best golfer that's a part of the St. Louis Blues organization?
You know what? Bozy's a one or two, I think, or maybe a zero. I don't know, three. I don't even know. Somewhere in that range, somewhere where it's good enough to beat pretty much 99% of the people. Panger's pretty good, too. He plays quite a bit. So, you know what? Maybe Savvy's gotten better. He's in a warmer climate, so he's not hanging out up in Canada with the snow, so maybe he's played more than he's used to, but I'm sure he's getting his fair share of rounds in here during the pandemic. He keeps texting me wondering if we're going to play, but yeah. I'm just assuming he wants to keep playing golf. I don't know. Not really sure.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, he's a fine golfer, but he is an elite napper. I don't know what your pregame nap situation is, Alex, but if you need any tips,
that should be the one thing you take from him is nap.
Yeah, you should ask him about his naps because he is elite.
You know what? I don't get to the rink as early as those coaches do, so maybe I should try that. Maybe I'll take a longer nap. I don't know. I'm not that big of a napper on game days, but those guys are there at 6 a.m. So if I was a coach, I'd be napping too. Those are long days, but Maybe he'll throw in the old nap story next time we have a power play meeting.
Yeah, I don't think it's just the waking up early and the coaching that's causing that guy to have naps. I think that he was napping long before he ever arrived in St. Louis. In fact, last year when he first started with us, I remember just right away always trying to be like, hey, Savvy, will you do the show today? He's like, sorry, bud, starting my nap time. Can't do it. I'm like, oh, sorry. Well, God forbid you ever interrupt your precious nap time. My mistake for even bringing it up. So
you know what? I'll give that one a shot next time he wants to have a power play meeting.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
That's my nap time.
Hey, you know what? That's actually probably the best excuse that you can have. He'll be like, totally understand. See you later. Yep. Enjoy.
Nap boys for life.
So we had future Olympic silver medalist Matthew Tkachuk on yesterday, and he didn't really want to comment on 24 teams, but he did say that no solution is going to be perfect when we're looking at the Stanley Cup playoffs. Do you think that this 24-team solution that's being bandied around is about as good as it gets?
I think you touched on it probably the best. Is I don't think whichever route we go, whichever format we agree on, it's not going to be perfect. I mean, perfect scenario was this never happened, and we continue to keep playing the way we normally do. So there's going to be some concessions for everybody. I think it's certainly one that has gained some good traction on both sides to say which, you know, format exactly within those 24 teams or 16 teams has been agreed upon. It's not fair to say because we haven't really gotten to that point. So most of it's just speculation right now. We've had talks on both sides internally. But again, I think you said it the best. There's no perfect way to do this because it's not like we've ever been through this before and there's a script to follow. So the good part about it is everybody's pretty much interested in it in terms of, you know, players and the league. And there's been more discussion on this than anything I've been a part of. I mean, as there should be. So I'm sure we'll come up with something here within the next couple weeks with the amount of conversation that's going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you mentioned that there's maybe different things bandied about, but there was a report that you guys are voting on this thing already. Like, have you voted on anything? Has anything actually been formally presented to you? Because the idea was that maybe we'd get a result of that vote today.
Matthew said it, everything's been presented to us in terms of possibilities and structure and how we want to do it. And nothing's been agreed upon. Nothing's been voted on. I mean, there's certainly a discussion that probably will happen regardless of what the format is. I don't think you can agree on it unless everybody is on board with it. So we had a good call yesterday about a good discussion, which is what you want. And I'm sure, like I said, soon enough, there'll be an answer to that.
Yeah. And I think that the biggest thing is that it seems to be heading in a better direction, that for a while hockey's outlook was it didn't look so great. You looked at all the logistics, the fact that there was still this real desire to get regular season games in, that you didn't really want to do hub cities, that they presented challenges that the NBA, for example, didn't, especially just when you came to roster sizes, and there's going to be concerns about ice and player safety. There's just so many other things that go into hockey than they do for some other sports. The ones that we're talking about where it's baseball outdoors and you have social distancing, or NBA where guys need to be quarantined for basically a month or a month and a half in roster sizes that are less than half. But basically, are you guys starting to feel a little bit more optimistic that there will be hockey again, that this season, that we will be seeing Stanley Cup playoffs? Just the feeling that it's shifted into more positive, more likely, not definitively that it's going to happen.
Well, we've been pretty optimistic. I think from the start. Again, I said it before, it's hard that it's out of our hands, but then again, it's easy that it's out of our hands because someone's kind of making that decision for us, and both sides, you know, really see that. I think all the leagues are like that. At least guys that I've talked to have been preparing as if we're going to play. I mean, that's pretty much how everybody's gone about their business, and then if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But you can see, you know, after league started in Europe and then the PGA had their event, NBA opened up their facilities, it's starting to gain traction. But then again, you know, we're just going by what the government's telling us and what, you know, the health officials are guiding us to do. So we're going by their, you know, conversations they're having with us. And I know there's a lot of doctors on our side and on the NHL side that are really having good input on, you know, whether it's hub cities or how we go about this and where we're going to play. And I don't think any of those decisions are going to get made without those people involved. So guys are excited. Guys are excited to be able to finish this thing because, you know, you play, I think we played 70 games. You go and you grind for 70 games. To not be able to finish and see where things are at is, I guess, disappointing. But it's not like any of us had planned for this.
Yeah, man. And I'm actually especially curious from the standpoint of your guys' team because you play a lot of hockey last year, and it's a lot of high stress hockey where you're completely out of the playoff picture. You storm all the way back. You go on a Stanley Cup run, and now this year, you have the most points in the Western Conference, but I think the second most in the entire NHL. And do you think that this has been – like, I don't think the pandemic is good for anybody, but do you think that the break maybe helps you guys a little bit just to get a little miles off the tires, or that it hurts more just in terms of derailing momentum because, yeah, you're coming off a Stanley Cup and you're first in the West. You would normally think, hey, like, what's the balance there between rest versus momentum?
I think we would take the rest. I mean, I think a lot of teams have gone through some injuries later in the season. That just, you know, it's a lot of hockey, a lot of travel. That tends to happen. We're healthy for the most part. I mean, maybe a little banged up, things that needed a bit of a break. So I think a lot of us are using it as an opportunity. I don't think that momentum's lost because there's been, so much optimism that we're going to return. Most of us are pretty much all still in St. Louis. So then we're all still talking to each other. It's the same group of guys that's excited to get back and play. We had some momentum there, certainly at the end of the season, that we thought was really going to help build us going into the playoffs. But the good thing about our team is it's been the same team since last year. So we all know how we play. We all know what our team's all about. So I don't think for us really is any issue in terms of momentum. I just think it's a really good opportunity for this year and for next year and moving forward to get this break.
Alex, thanks for this. This was fun. Give our best to our boy Savvy.
Oh, he's listening for sure. He knows.
I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. He's the type of guy that definitely Googles himself. He's like, who's writing stuff about me? What's happening?
Well, thanks, Alex. I'm sure he's liking what he's seeing. Our third in the league in power play, so he's probably loving it.
Yeah, he is.
Absolutely is.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for doing this, buddy. Be safe.
All right, you're welcome, guys. Take care.
Alex Pietrangelo, St. Louis Blues captain, defenseman, pending free agent as well. Got to be definitely uncertain times for everybody, but yeah, him specifically, not knowing what the future holds for him and his contract and what team he's going to be playing for next year. We're down to the Foul Four in our May Madness bracket. This round of voting ends on Sunday. Help us decide the most heartbreaking moment in Toronto sports history by casting your vote on our Twitter page at Fan590. Tune in weekday mornings during leadoff when Ziggy and Scotty Mac break down the matchups. Join the conversation on Twitter by using the hashtag 590Madness, tagging at Fan590. Find more details at sportsnet.ca/590.